Sunday 5/17/26, and this is a prophet's corner and cut. It's called Not By Might, but it goes along with the song that Danny just sang about we're at the end of the training and we're at the beginning of whatever he's called us to do. So this will relate. The Lord says here, instant obedience without hesitation has been the goal of your training. Let me read it again. I need your perfect attention. Right on me, because I want you to hear this. And whoever may need this today. Instant obedience without hesitation has been the goal of your training. I must have you moving with me, instant in season or out of season. In other words, whether you feel like it or not, it's never about how you feel. Some do what I ask them to do when they feel like it. Remember Jonah? He ended up in the belly of a great fish. When you feel like it is unacceptable. When you don't feel like it and do it anyway is when I kick in the grace. You're doing it in the power of my might. I kept thinking about, so often we say, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. We need to not say that anymore because we don't know where we might go if it's not a divine appointment, that it's not an assignment. Not many mighty are called, simply for this reason. I do not need their brawn, but I do need obedience, for obedience is better than sacrifice. Sacrifices are physical work, or works, and you see this in the world constantly. Men doing things in their flesh to accomplish goals or win prizes. When you're on the ragged edge and you still obey shows that you are ready. In other words, you're not getting any sleep at night. Everything you eat tastes like cardboard. You're in pain day and night. And you still obey. And other things I won't mention. Let me read that again. When you're on the ragged edge and you will obey, shows that you're ready. And I'm seeing that in you now. Mostly will only go if all conditions are favorable. And I'd be venturing to say this. If they think it goes against Scripture, they won't do it. I'm not saying go against Scripture, but there are gray lines. There are areas. But those that work for me do not consider the conditions. They just obey and trust me to show up for them, and I do. This is spiritual training at its finest. This is the way God trains. There is no other way. It's not cemeteries or it may be if God sends you there. Now, if God sends you there, it is. If you just go and try to do some religious institution to learn the ways of God, that's not God's training. Unless he says, go to that institution. Even my only begotten son learned obedience this way. He suffered greatly in his flesh, but he fully obeyed. Quick to hear and slow to speak. Jesus, standing before Pontius Pilate. Most Christians at the sign of any kind of unfavorable condition start saying, it's the devil. But never forget, he is on my leash and I control that leash. It's real easy as I rebuke you, devil, rebuke you, devil, rebuke you, devil, and bind you, Satan. And the Lord's saying, it's me. Sound familiar? That's the big one for me. Now I can say, Lord, no matter what, I know you're allowing this. Okay. Nahum 1:3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. See, he wants us to be slow to anger, but great in power. That's the way Jesus was. Okay, 2 Timothy 4:2. This is the Strong's here. It's talking about being, well, I'll go ahead and read that. 2 Timothy 4:2. Talking about the training process here. Let's keep it in context. Sometimes when God takes you the Job route, certain things are suspended. So keep this in context. This is about training I'm talking about. 2 Timothy 4:2, the Lord's talking to us about, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Okay. Instant means to stand upon, be present in various applications, friendly or otherwise, usually literally. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many nobled are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So God makes his selection for his reasons. It's kind of like with David, little shepherd boy out there at the sheep. And when the prophet came, he look at them brothers ahead of him and say, surely the Lord's anointed stands before me. The Lord said, I haven't chosen him. Went through the whole list. Haven't chosen him. Haven't chosen him. Haven't chosen him. Haven't chosen him. Samuel says, you got any more sons? He said, just a little guy out there keeping the sheep. Go get him. We will not sit down to eat till he come. And God said, this is the one, the least likely expected to be. Mighty here means powerful or capable, literally and physically. Men waste their whole lives training in their own might and strength, and then one day it all leaves. Not so with the servant of the Lord. Deuteronomy 34:7. See, men's brawn. They spend decades on higher education, decades on physical sports and training, all for naught. Unless the Lord tells them to do it, I will put that in there. Maybe they're sent in there to infiltrate the wicked sports world or whatever the case may be. But I'm talking about men thinking that their own way is going to make it. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Then why are you worrying about yourself? Stop looking at how old you are and how you feel, for I'm not looking for any of your brawn. In fact, he has taken it away so that he can show himself to be strong through you. Because you get in the way, and I'm not saying you as you, that's all of us. We get in the way. I have called the mighty in spirit to work for me. Never look at the flesh to gauge anything. Ask me about it, and I will show you what to do, and I will supply the might for you to do it. When you live this way, you live carefree, and you're always looking in amazement at how easy it was to do because you leaned on me instead of yourself. God's grace makes what seems difficult easy. The flesh does not bring success, but looking in the Spirit does, or walking in the Spirit. Keep your focus right, off you and your ability, and onto me. He trained you because it wasn't about your ability. It was about what he saw in you and what he wanted to use in you. It's never been about our ability to do anything. Okay, 1 Samuel. I might have already read this, but we'll look at it again. This is 1 Samuel 17. No, I didn't read this part, but this is good. 1 Samuel 17:31. And when the words were heard which David spake, see, all the mighty men were running from the giant, headed for the foxholes. Here comes little David to bring food for his brothers. And he sees this giant. He's thinking, how dare he defy the armies of the living God? And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with them, for thou art but a youth, he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine should be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in his own might. Okay, let's go over to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 4:10. It's never been about us. He's just looking for a willing vessel that will say, yes, Lord, send me. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. In other words, Paul's talking about the apostles. These apostles operate by the power of God, not by their own might. And they're being made fun of. Right here. For I think that God has set forth us apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made spectacles unto the world and to the angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. In other words, we'll do whatever he tells us to do. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 10. Therefore, Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities. I don't know if I'm quite there, but Paul said it. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now you have a clearer understanding of what I have said to you. It had to be this way. Weak in yourselves, but strong in me.